Let's bring Eddie. Hey, we're not talking about what you think we're talking about. It's nothing. It's nothing. Our man Eddie Gonzalez here with us. I'll ask you the question that I was really going to ask as it pertains to the Rockets and Kevin Durant. And it's, are they better than they were last year?
That's a good question. I mean, I think in context, yes. They have had some injuries. They're playing without Fred VanVleet. To still have the same record, be about the same record. I see these tweets every game they play. The game record last year was this, record this year is this. I do think they are a better defensive team. I do think, like, they're taken more serious as a team, in that sense. I know what the record is. But I do think they are true contenders this year. Whereas last year, it was like, okay. It was like upstarts and a little surprising. I think this year they have the real expectations. So that's a long roundabout answer to say yes. I think they're better than they were last year, for sure.
You got that cold that's beating everybody's ass right now, don't you?
Across the country.
I don't think so. I hope not.
Oh, okay. You sound a little low-key. I was like, oh, I think our man.
Now
I think,
I'm thinking like, am I?
Well, I mean, hey, look, man, when you got beanies like that, it keeps you warm, keeps you from, you know, getting sick. I mean, that's not from Coles or nothing like that.
I got the beanie on because.
Oh, yeah. I did see that. Gotta keep it fresh. Yes, sir.
I got somewhere to beat them all, man. I'm trying to.
Yeah, gotta keep it tight.
Protect the hair.
Yeah.
You gotta scratch it by doing the hard pat. No, yeah.
I was just saying today, like, cool, I like it. It looks good. People seem to like my hair. Is itching so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been able to like keep it tight, you know what I mean? I got really straight hair, so I'm like, oh, this might last like 2-3 days. It's been like 4 days, 5 days, but it's itching so bad. I'm gonna take it out sooner than I need to.
You get used to it after a while. Trust me. At one point, I didn't know about this. He's like, "What is this guy telling me about it for?" No, at one point, I didn't know. You get used to it after a while.
Yeah, it's. At first, I wasn't tripping, and then it was just like yesterday. I'm like, "Ooh, what is?" Oh, that's okay.
Whatever event Eddie got tomorrow, he coming straight home, pulling them things out.
I'm out.
And getting the Rockets play. The New York Knicks.
Okay.
We'll be at the Garden.
There we go. So about the Rockets, though, like to that point, I think they're better than they were last year. Here's the thing that I feel about them. Oddly enough, I feel like they're just kind of trying to get to the playoffs. Like be top four, have home court in the first round. You might be pushing it with the way San Antonio's playing with OKC to think you're going to have home court in the second round. So at that point, let's just try and continue to get better, improve on some of the things that we have shortcomings on as a team. But they're really looking at the playoffs. That's a team made for the playoffs, it feels like.
For sure. And I think the one thing to note is they're just a much different team. And not only like what they've lost for injury, you know, their idea of playing the Twin Towers is done now. Steven Adams is out for the season.
Yeah.
You're just not going to do that as often with Clint Capella. But I think last night is a great example of why they're a better team. And, you know, the Hornets are shorthanded on their own for their own issues, the big fight and all this stuff. But you got a tight game late. Hornets are making their comeback. They're really giving it a chance to win this game at home. And you just have these couple possessions in that game. It's like, all right, we have to get a bucket. It's getting tight. And you go to that guy, and he goes and gets you a crazy leaning fadeaway jumper for a dagger, and then he also hits the free throws that send it home afterwards. So, to me, that's such a huge difference. It's one of those arbitrary things, but yeah, to have a closer on that team, it changes what they are. And this is a team that struggled in close games this year. But he's been able to make that happen. You hit a game winner against the Suns, a couple different other games where you end up hitting the dagger the other game last night. And in the way the West is right now, and they're tied up basically 3-6, that makes all the difference. That could be the difference between a 2 seed, if the Spurs falter a little bit, and the play-in is the couple of games a year that you did that. So that in and of itself makes them better.
Eddie, I think, too, every once in a while we got to remind ourselves, I know I do, that Fred Van Fleet's not here. He was supposed to be. Like, he's a really important part of what they were doing, and he hasn't been here the entire season.
In essence, you're down two starters. You know, you're down one starter you never had, and then one you thought you were going to have and then didn't. And you dealt with your own issues, or Alfred Sengun hurt his ankle pretty bad a month ago, and overcoming that. Tari Eason had his own injury issues. So, like, we haven't seen this team full strength all season long, and we won't. We won't because Fred Steve's gone for the whole season. But, you know, you got to take all that into account. I hate to make the injury excuse. I mean, they got guys out there, and they're still winning games. There's also just the changing of what they're doing on the court and having to implement somebody like Kevin. And everybody says, you know, KD's the most portable superstar. You know, he fits anywhere. That doesn't make it. That doesn't mean it's perfectly simple. It's you have to figure out a way to play with Alfred Sengun. You have to you get Amen Thompson in a new role. He's handling the ball way more and has to figure out how to be a distributor. You're giving somebody like Tari Eason a bigger role than he's ever had, and hoping he can get up to speed with that. And then he also comes into the season a month in. So just because Kevin slots in and makes sense as a guy who can play on the perimeter, who can catch, he can shoot, he can handle here and there, that doesn't mean it's easy. It's you still have to figure it out, and I think they're still doing that. You know, this far into the season, we're pushing up on 60 games. They're still figuring out how they want to play offense. They're still figuring out where they want to be on defense most nights, and I think they're slowly but surely getting better at it. And like you said, the idea I think is to peak in April, May, and ideally June.
Do you think they – because there's people who think that they've taken a step back as far as a championship contender after more than half of the season and kind of seeing them and some of the things they've had to go through. Do you still look at them the same as you did coming into the season?
I do. And what I think people got to realize is you look around the West, the Thunder just won the title, and they are stacked, and they are incredibly talented. They have very few flaws, it seems like. Right now, one of them is health. You know, you're losing Shea for another 10 days. You're losing J-Dub for another 2 weeks, I think it is. But every other contender has their own issues. Mm-hmm. Every other contender has things they got to get better at. You watched the Nuggets last night kind of lose another close game and seeing their issues. And you go on throughout the West. And you look at like the Timberwolves, and they have their own issues. And you the Rudy Gobert situation, and how do we keep him on the court? And you know, they asked Kawhi yesterday, who's the hottest team in the league? Are you guys contenders? And he said no. And they have their issues, and they might not, you know, they might not play a true playoff series where they're at in the playoff, in the standings. And that goes all the way throughout the West. There's a ton of conversation about the Lakers and that they're true contenders. So I say all that to say all of these teams have some issues. Everybody basically except the Thunder. That doesn't mean you're not a contender. That just means you have a different set of issues than the other contenders. So I do think they're contenders, and I do think the West is going to heavily come down into the matchups. So I look at them, and they get up into that three seed yesterday at the stand. Like, man, letting the Thunder and Nuggets play each other in the second round, that would be perfect because you don't want to play both of them, and you don't want to play them back-to-back for 3 weeks straight. And so I think there's going to be a ton of that. There's going to be a ton of jostling, and this conference will come down to the bitter end. You look at the Thunder, and I know they looked invincible earlier this year. They played 2 7-game series in the playoffs last year, and they really probably should have lost the second one to the Pacers. They are not this unassailable, unbeatable team, and a lot of that came down to health and matchups. And you can pick them off, but, man, we'd rather do it a month in after they gotten beat up a little bit and they seen everybody they need to see. Maybe they've had their own bumps and bruises than you would in round one or even round two and then have to turn around and play Denver. So are they a perfect team? No. Are they a contending team? Yeah, they're the three seed right now. Throughout all the issues we've seen them have, they're the three seed, and I think they're going to end up finishing around there. I hope so. Cross my fingers.
Talking about contenders, is Detroit a legit contender to you?
Man, that is a good team, man, and – I tweeted yesterday, and I made a joke about it, but they might have the MVP on that team.
I don't think that's a joke.
Little small caveat, they're probably going to need Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to miss one of the 10 games because I can't see you not giving it to him, the best guy on the best team, and he's second in the league in scoring, and he's just really good at the end of the day.
But hold on, what? Eddie. I'm sorry, brother. I'm so sorry to interrupt you. We got a tweet from Chris Haynes that I got to read. Sacramento Kings forward DeAndre Hunter will undergo season-ending eye surgery, league sources tell Mark Stein.
All right, man. Where,
did you say where, eye surgery?
Yeah, he got scratched pretty bad. Like, I don't think I've ever seen blood drip from an eyeball before. And that happened to DeAndre in, like, maybe his first or second game.
Yeah.
And, like, his, you know, you could speculate on how legit some of this stuff going on right now is. But DeAndre practiced yesterday and appeared to be nearing a return. Like, I think some people thought he was going to play yesterday. Mm-hmm. He was ruled out about an hour or two before the game. And now Chris Haynes says he's the latest Sacramento King to be out for the entire season.
Got to get surgery, too. That's crazy.
DeAndre Hunter out for the year. I mean, Hammer was telling us, he was like, yeah, I might be playing with goggles moving forward and all of this. That is a very – given that he was practicing, that's a very surprising announcement. DeAndre Hunter out for the season. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Eddie. I just needed to pass that along to our audience.
Nah, man, that's big news. I mean, do we have any more season-ending injuries and surgeries left on this roster, or are we here now?
I mean, there's one or two that you can say, hey, man. You know, gotta get some. What they used to always say? Some bone spurs. They gotta clean up some stuff.
DeMar DeRozan got cataracts. He's gotta sit out the remainder of the season. The only guys left to not play is DeMar DeRozan and Russell Westbrook. Those guys played 17 minutes and 19 minutes respectively last night, and I don't think that's gonna happen. Both of those guys are competitors. Maybe they'll go along with this minutes thing, but I don't think they're gonna go along with the idea of being shut down. Russ didn't sign with this basketball team to not play basketball.
I was thinking Keegan.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, I don't want him to have surgery.
I don't care. Why not? But,
yeah.
I'm sure you guys had the conversation already this week probably, but I read the Mark Cuban thing about tanking, and I kind of understood what he was saying, and I kind of almost agree. I did think it was a little awkward for the owner to say, yeah, it's too expensive to come to games, so you kind of need bad games so you can go to. And it's like, well, you set the prices, buddy. But, is it more – it's definitely most egregious in the NBA, right? Like, there's no other league where do this.
Yeah, by far.
Even in football, like, I'm a Raiders fan. I watched a pretty egregious tank this year against the Giants. But, like, you can't do this anywhere else.
Yeah, we talked about this with football. Like, it might be a 2-3, if it's really kind of crazy, 4-week thing. And I think 4 weeks is really a stretch. But when you start to recognize that number one spot is in sight, this isn't a lottery. Like, if you're a 2-win team, 6-win teams aren't trying to tank to get to that one spot. They can't. Like, there just isn't enough games for them to do that. But you'll see the bottom 2-3 teams, like, maybe not putting forth their best effort. But that's for the span of probably less than a month.
Yeah. And I feel like basketball fans go through this. You know, there's always constant basketball fan conversation. But they try to do this thing where they, like, you want to be the smart fan, so you defend it. Like, no, I'm fine with our team playing meaningless games for 2 years because we may possibly get Cam Boozer in 2 years. But, like, it does not feel good while you're doing it. Like, it is, like, as a fan, as somebody who follows the team, as somebody who's around the team, like, it cannot feel good.
No, it's awful.
It is terrible. This is just because, like, the beginning.
My thing is, and especially for somewhere like Sacramento, there's only so many shows in town. Like, you want the Kings to be fun. Like, you want to be able to hit a game and it's like something. You go to a game now and it's just like, it's an exhibition. It doesn't even feel like the game, like, when you're doing this. But so it's like, it's just such a weird energy to put around a team. And I get what they're saying and I understand the process. And you kind of have to do this. We've said it a bunch on this show. But, man, it's not fun to do. It's not fun. It's hard to watch as a fan. And even if – it's only so many nights you can be the team where it's like, okay, well – at least such and such is in town. You know, at least we get to watch, you know, LeBron today. At least we get to watch Cooper Flagg today. Only so many of those before it's like, yeah, I'm not paying attention to this tomorrow. I'm gonna move on my year.
I understand the strategy and the thought process of tanking and all this stuff, but I've said it a number of different times on here. Said it when talking to you, Eddie. Is man, I think I kind of rock with Matt Ishbia. Like that's how I'm wired. You know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, and especially in his situation, I've got the money to spend whatever the luxury tax is. I'm trying to win. Like that's just what I'm gonna try and do. If Bradley Beal doesn't work out, okay, it doesn't work out. But I'm not gonna. Well, let's strip it down and move on from book and do all this other stuff because we're in purgatory. Like we finished 10th this year. I'm gonna try to find a way to finish 5th next year and just keep going and keep going. Like that's some would say, hey, you just that's not the way to go about it, but. That's what I rock with, man. Ishbia didn't think twice to move off of Bill, move off KD, and be like, all right, how can we get better than we were last year? I'm with
that. Yeah, I know it might make me, like, a dumber fan, I guess, and, like, maybe it's not as cool a take, but it's not my money. Like, I don't care if you're in the apron or like, – mm-hmm. I understand that limits you in like, again, that might make me a dumber fan. No, I'd much rather you do what Matt Ishbia is doing, is just like swing, 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 swing. And I think they've gotten more intelligent with their swings, and they made a concerted effort to get under the apron and have some flexibility. And again, smart. I'd much rather that than be a team on the other end of that. And like maybe the ping pong balls work, and maybe we get Darren Peterson. Like maybe. But because I've watched the Nets not get none of those guys, and then you have to spend another year saying, well, Igor, his jump shot looks a little better now, so that's a win for the year. It's tough as a fan, you know what I mean? And again, I get, if you're smart and you're savvy and you understand this is how it works, I don't care about that. I want it to be fun. This is entertainment for me. I'm showing up to see a good show, and this ain't that right now. And I love Russell Westbrook. But we're not being serious at all what we're doing. We're shutting everything. Like, it's tough to watch. And the Kings aren't the only team doing this. So I'm not, like, just ragging on them. Like, the Jazz just got a crazy fine for the disgusting stuff they're doing. But, yeah, it's tough to watch as a fan. I think the problem with the NBA, in that sense, not a problem, but it does tend to get really top-heavy. And so even with two extended playoff spots, there's only so much some of these teams can do. And it's... The only other option is to completely, completely bottom out. I said it before the break. We're going to see some egregious tanking after this All-Star break, and it's about to get worse and worse.
Our man Eddie Gonzalez with us here on D'Lo and KC. By the way, Eddie Gonzalez potting with all the stars now.
Man, come on, man. That's what he do. That's what he do. Come on, big time. I'm glad Eddie, here with us today.
You remember when they put The Rock on, like, the Fast and the Furious, and they put The Rock in, like, G.I. Joe? It was like, yeah. Nah, He brings the franchise back to life. That's Eddie Gonzalez. You put Eddie on a pod, all of a sudden that pod's back to life, baby. You got the stars joining in him and everything, man. We see you.
Man, I'm trying, man. Look, I've been producing Cousins with Vince Carter and Tracy McGrady. It's been a lot of fun. I'm able to get my ridiculous takes off to the man himself, so... I was able to sit in front of Tracy and Vince and say, I'm not going to lie, guys. I thought Tracy had the best dunk of the 2000 dunk contest, and have them look at me like I'm out my damn mind, because I really like Tracy McGrady's 360 dunk. And they're just like, nah, what are you talking about?
Yeah, so I agree. I agree with them. Eddie, what are we talking about?
I love that dunk.
I and love even, it too, like, but what are we Tracy's talking like, about?
Tracy's like, nah. Because of the 360 windmill. Are you okay? Like, I'm losing credibility by the second. I'm just like, guys, I just, you know, I was a T-Mac guy. I like the dunk. Hold up. But it's fun, man. It's like we out in L.A. got some shoots. We got Lamar Odom coming up on this week. And I think people really like that show with them. And, yeah, been producing throwbacks with Matt Leinart, Jerry Ferrara. Having fun with those guys, too. Just kind of like, that's our kind of like, everything show. We talk TV, we talk sports, we talk them dudes being dads, and they both got three kids in their house now, and they like little like like 2-4 infant, like, you know. Wow. So they got lots going on, but yeah, man, sometimes I have to go to work. I got a day job too. I think a lot of people are like, what do you do? I do a bunch everything. Of stuff these days.
Everything. Before I interrupted you with the DeAndre Hunter news, I was asking you about Detroit. You laminated this is a good basketball team. They're legit contenders. You had a take on social media last night that I do not think is crazy. Like, Cade Cunningham deserves to be in this MVP conversation.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if he wins the East, another 40-point double-double last night in the Garden, like, clearly gives a damn that they lost last year to that team. Now, don't say the Pistons own them just yet, because the Pistons did lose to them last year. Like, relax, guys. But that's a great – and that's a little bit more well-rounded team with what they did on the break. Look, Kevin Huerter is not a perfect player, but what he can do is make some jump shots. And they needed that firepower a ton. They were relying a ton on Duncan Robinson. Now they got a little more offensive punch. I would have loved for them to get another ball handler. Like, but Cade has been on it so much this year. I know the raw numbers. Like, we got two dudes averaging 30 points a game. We got other guys, you know, going crazy. We got Victor Wembanyama, who, you know, the single strongest defensive force in the league. Plus, he's giving you 20 and 10 every night. But what Cade is doing with that team, and he is pretty much the anchor of that entire offense, and also providing some defensive punch for that team, it's crazy to watch. And, you know, people talk about, like, heliocentric basketball, and it was just essentially the James Harden, Luka Doncic style. Cade is doing that. Well, not necessarily having a great jumper and running to the rim all night. He's really fun to watch. If you had a chance to watch the Pistons, they're this rough, rugged team, but now they got a little bit more offensive punch. I hate to do this, but they kind of remind me of like a mid-2000s type team where it's like, we're just going to be big, strong. We're going to rebound everything, and you're going to have to score more than us, and I don't think you can, because we don't let people score. Jalen Duren's had a great season as well. He's another guy. We were talking about the Hornets earlier. He's another guy who's out with the fight right now. Isaiah Stewart's out right now, but, man, that's a tough team to deal with. I seen him in person this year in Houston, and it's just a bunch of big, like, angry-looking dudes. And then they got Cade putting together all the offense. I'm scared of them in the playoffs. Do I think they can beat a Boston in a 7-game series? I don't know, but I would love to see it. That's all I know. Like, let's get to that conference finals. Let's see them lock horns and see who's better.
Yeah, they look like the 0-4 Pistons to a certain degree. Like, a little bit like that. You know, you'd say, let's not be too quick to say that the Pistons own the Knicks, because the Knicks beat them last year in the playoffs. And, you know, as a Knicks supporter, you know, I'm riding with Knicks tape. You know, go New York, go New York, go. You know, I'm a Knicks supporter. But the one thing that I will say for, you know, all my Knicks fans out there, shout out to my cousin Kevin, shout out to my my cousin Ricky, you know, my cousin Herb, you know, all my Knicks fans out there, is just because the Pistons have dog-walked you 3 times already this year, don't trip, because Mike Brown figures that out in the course of a season when the team has your number. He figures that out for sure.
I wasn't convinced. Was you convinced? Did he believe?
So he didn't say it with enough feeling.
I had to think. Is this a bit?
No, it's a bit.
Shout out to my man Sada Baby. Ran into him in L.A. That's like my guy. And I'll tell you, he is Detroit's own, and he's excited as hell about these Pistons. He's hoping they get the Knicks. So,
bro, you couldn't have gotten that.
I don't know if they own them, but they should have won the series last year. So I'm
Don't go there. You saw what my boy Cat did in that series. Our boy Cat stepped up and was starting cooking. Stop playing. You saw that game four. Playing with my boy Cat.
That big market
love. I'm going to get you a Carl Anthony Towns jersey, man. Just get it over with.
Oh, man.
Eddie couldn't get out of L.A. fast enough.
I'm coming right back, man. I'll be right back next weekend. So, but I was ready. I'm not going to lie. It was warm and it was beautiful out there. I landed out in Jersey and I felt like the crisp cold air, and I was just like, I'm home.
Okay. Oh, we lost
this
him.
This is where I'm at.
Oh. We lost Eddie. Oh, man. 916, man, born and we lost him.
Man, now
I landed, I was like,
Oh, look at the Kings made PTI. Happy trails to the Kings. Oh, that's
the losing streak didn't go nowhere. What they talking about?
No, I think they talking about their dignity. Happy trails to their dignity. That's what I think they're talking about. Hey, there's a lot of Celtics games in prime time coming up here in the next 3-4 weeks or so. I know that's not a question. I just pointing it out.
Just an observation.
Just observing.
I would say, I'm a Texas guy right now. Hold on. Seen ET drop a date. I would say it's getting closer and closer. Like, clearly. I think there was a little wavering a few weeks back about whether or not he was sure he was going to do this.
Was that from him? Was he skeptical?
It was, and I can say that because I think he also kind of said it publicly, but
yeah.
It was just a lot. It was just – nobody's ever done this. I think Sean was saying the other day Kobe came back in like 11-ish months, and so JC is looking at 10. But nobody's ever come back in the season with this weight of expectation. And if he does come back in the season, not only is it going to be, we need you to be the Jason Tatum, but we need you to do that and get us to a championship. That's heavy expectations for a dude 27 years old coming off of a ruptured Achilles. Now, was he thinking about that a little bit? I think so. I think it's fair to think about that. I think it's fair to wonder what is right for him in that sense. But it sounds like he's getting ready. You know, he had some great workouts he was really excited about. I'm kind of checking in on him on some, like, health stuff. Like, how's your leg feel? It seems like he's getting there. Does he have a date? I will tell you what he told me. I don't have a date, and when I do, I'm going to tell you. And one thing he said to me is, because he knows I want to go. He's like, you know, I'm going to tell you because I know you're going to be out there. You pull up. The brands that are attached to that young man, I believe last year they were calling him the most endorsed athlete in the NBA. He is like everything. Gatorade, Jordan, all this stuff. They are anxiously waiting for a date, and they don't have one yet. So anybody guessing is just guessing, but it does sound like he will be back soon. I know his birthday is March 3rd, so my good friend Evan Turner was on a show today saying, hey, man, he likes it, you know. I do think early March is a kind of good guess.
When did you say his birthday was?
Set in stone just yet.
March 3rd. All right, so we've got March 6th is on ESPN versus Dallas. Sunday, March 8th is at Cleveland on ABC. March 10th is on NBC. March 12th at Oklahoma City is on Prime Video. You got Washington, that's NBA TV. You got a Golden State game that's on ESPN on March 18th. And then you've got a Minnesota game on March 22nd that's on NBC. Those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7 televised games are over a 9-game span.
And
one of them was just moved, by the way. The Amazon one was just moved.
Mavs
yeah.
This isn't set in stone. I don't work for the team. But JT has said himself, when I come back, it will be in that Boston Garden. Please believe it. It will be in front of that home crowd in the Boston Garden. So
we've got Sunday versus Philadelphia. Yeah. Sunday, March 1st versus Philadelphia. That's on NBC.
That got moved to NBC.
You got like Golden State on ESPN. You get later in the month, you got Minnesota. The rest of those games that I referenced earlier are actually on the road at Cleveland, at San Antonio, at Oklahoma City.
That Sixers game literally just got moved.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was a
days ago.
A 2 o'clock game days or something ago. Like
yeah.
that, and they moved that to NBC Prime.
I'm excited to see the dude out there, man. I keep seeing these highlight videos and all this stuff, but, yeah, you know, once you start ramping up, playing 5-on-5 with the G, you know, you're getting there. There's a timeline. There's still some boxes I think he needs to check, but he's on his way, man. He's on his way. I'm excited.
The marathon continues with D'Lo and KC on KIFM West Sacramento, KRX QHD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320, always live on the free Odyssey app. That's our man Eddie Gonzalez with us.
I've reversed course, man. You know, I was against bringing him back this year for where the Celtics are. But, you know, I thought about it a little bit more, and, you know, I'm big on these guys want to come back. Like, let him come back. If as long as you're not forcing him to come back, that's a different situation. But if he is like listening to everybody and going through all the steps and he wants to play, and I don't know what the risk may be. It may be, you know, structural somewhere else. I don't think he would re-tear the Achilles or something like that. So it'd be something else. But yeah, like if he feels like he's okay and it's on his own goodwill that he wants to come back, let him come back and see what he can do.
I'm with you. I'm excited to see it. I mean, this is not what we're used to seeing. Mm-hmm. But again, once they told me Kobe was like 10 months and Kobe's a maniac, you know, as long as it's physically possible, a guy like JT is going to be the one who's going to do that. So, again, if he's healthy, which is always my question, just as a friend, like, yo, you feeling good? You cool? No setbacks? We might as well see him out there, see what he can do. And
not just healthy, physically.
One of the words I heard, and not from him, he didn't say this. He kind of wouldn't say this. But the buzz coming out of that first little 5-on-5 with the G League was, oh, he's JT. Like, he's the guy like he was. He's zero. Like, you know what I mean? So I don't want to put that weight of expectation on him, but it sounds like folks out there are liking what they're seeing already.
Now, is it true, the rumors that I'm hearing, that the Jason Tatum 5s are going to be high top and have the stitch behind the Achilles? Just, I mean, because that's just, oh, man, I keep taking shots today.
You wore the Kobe 9s for fashion? Wore Kobe 9s for fashion?
Oh, no. Man.
But I wore them for hoop. Those are some of my favorite hoop shoes.
Those shoes are so fire, though.
Those are my favorite hoop shoes. I love them. I just got the Christmas joints a couple months ago when I came back out. I love those shoes.
Not to head the Kobe convo, but like, Kobe was so polarizing while he was playing and then even right after. To watch the Kobe 5 and 6 just completely take over the NBA. And I remember how dramatic that shoe was when it dropped. It's kind of crazy to see it. But I think I love that like 90% of the league has decided, oh, this is just the best shoe to play in. Mm-hmm. Like, this just feels the best.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that was crazy when he rolled that shoe out. I remember laughing about it, but it was like, Nike just be knowing what they're doing, man. Nike just be knowing what they're doing.
Man.
I want to stick with the Celtics for just a second, because you were talking about the weight of expectations if Jason Tatum comes back and this team to be a championship contender. This is a team that's also 36-19, second in the East right now. Are they a championship contender right now?
Without him?
Yeah.
I don't know, because you still got to go up against the Monsters in OKC. And if not them, it's Denver.
Can they get out of the East?
Can they win the East? Oh, for sure. Okay. Oh, for sure. It's just a well put together team. And Boston has this thing with centers. And I remember in the middle of like Kevin's first like trade demand, it was like, who would Boston trade for him? And at the time, this was like the peak of Robert Williams. People thought he should have been the defensive player of the year, all this stuff. He had some knee issues, but it was like, they trade Rob. They're like, why? Boston just feels like centers are replaceable. It's like, really? And then they've done that a few times over now since Rob. They had Big Al. They had KP. And then they roll right into Nehemiah Kata, who they've been building for a few years. But it's like, we just need you to do this small role and make it work. And they've done that all year long with Kata. And they've just become this functional offense. And Peyton Pritchard is, you know, sixth man of the year, all this stuff. He's one of those players, like, you kind of watch him. First year or two, you're like, is he really doing this? And then now it's been consistent for so long, because he's just such a tough player to guard off the dribble like that, being able to shoot like that. Like, you know what the best thing to be in the NBA right now? I can dribble and I can shoot. Every team needs a guy who can dribble and shoot. You got Peyton Pritchard. But Jaylen Brown has stepped up. At the end of the day, Jaylen Brown has just stepped up and been a better player all year long. He's been such a great scorer all year. He had a triple-double yesterday. He's trying to have ways to distribute the ball. He's been a great defender for years and years and years. That's just a tough team to see night in, night out. Now, that gets a little different in the postseason. You need a little more. But they might have an MVP-level player on the way, too, on top of that. And, man, if they get into the playoffs healthy, you got to look at them and say, is the East going to be a little bit easier march for them? Do they get to June healthier, stronger, feeling better than somebody on the West and have a real run at it? And, they right there. If JT is JT like they're saying, how can you not look at that team and feel like they can make a real run?
I still feel like, much like last season, the Knicks are built to beat the Celtics. And I think the Knicks right now, they're 2-3. The Celtics are 2, Knicks are 3. They play each other in the second round. And especially if JT's – not 100%. I'd favor the Knicks in that series. The crazy part about it is, I made jokes about it earlier, but I'm much like I am with San Antonio and OKC. I don't know if the Knicks can beat Detroit. I don't think they can. That's a bad matchup. And Boston matches up a little better with Detroit. So it may be one of those type of things in the playoffs.
Do they still after the deadline, though? See, that's the problem with the Celtics. They're run so smartly. They go get Anthony Simons in the offseason. It's like, this is obviously not a long-term piece for them, but we can do something with him eventually. And that rolls into Nikola Vucevic at the deadline. And, again, I just talked up Nehemiah Kater, but, like, now we have offensive punch there, and we can do our five-out thing. They were slowly preparing for Jason Tatum to come back and then to look like the 2024 Celtics. And sure enough, they got the guy who can help them do that. That we didn't even talk about Derek White yet. Like, that's a tough team. I would love to see them play the Knicks. And trust me, I'll be rooting for the sweep because them boys owe them one. I'd like to see it. I'd like to see it happen. I'd like to see Mike Brown in that series. Joe Mazzulla, man, he just continues to get something out of that squad night in, night out. You can't bet against them. I think they're going to win the East. That's my take of it right now. So I think we will be seeing the Celtics in the finals.
Is Tatum's inevitable return the biggest story in the second part of this NBA season?
Thankfully, yeah. After the last weekend. I hope so. I hope he comes back tomorrow at this point. But I think, like, jokes aside, I think if the Rockets lose a couple games in a row, that will be the biggest story of the season. If they don't, cross my fingers, it will be Jason Tatum and whatever we see from Jason Tatum on the way back. Like, he is the biggest trade deadline pickup any team could have made, and it sounds like they're going to get him. So, to me, it is until we get to the playoffs, and then things start happening from there.
He's going to take a beating if Houston drops.
Oh, yeah. Now,
I appreciate y'all not.
No, I know.
I make one little. I get a text from my son. And me and my son talk all the time, but my son is 19 now. Like, he's like living his own life. I don't know if at 19 y'all were talking to pops every day, but we don't talk every day. I get a text from him kind of out the blue, kind of late at night. I'm like, I'm worried. Like, see, all right, it's a screenshot. I said, what the hell? So I look, it's a text convo. And it's like, yo, why your dad in them files? I was like,
oh, no. Come on, man.
Jesus. What? And so, mind you, again, this is late at night. I'm kind of scared. I'm like, why did he just text me a screenshot? So it's that, and I read it, and then there's another one, and then it's just smiley face. It's just mad laughing emojis. I'm like, hey, man, leave me alone, man. Leave me alone. He's like, oh, how you doing, Dad? I'm like, I'm good, bro. Thanks.
KD files going crazy in the NBA
crazy,
world.
Going crazy, man. Going crazy. Man. Yeah, I'll text you off there about all that. But
group text.
I understand why. I understand why. But are we just all just?
Oh,
what Cleveland did don't matter.
Oh,
huh?
No, not me.
Oh,
not me.
You know what?
Not me. I'm paying attention.
Okay. And I say I understand why. Yeah, number one, not me. Real quick, because it's Cleveland and because it's James Harden, so I understand why people would be dismissive. But I don't know.
Not me.
I don't know.
That Keon Ellis acquisition, boy. Sorry.
Keon, Schroeder, Evan Mobley getting healthy, Max Strus getting healthy. They got a little mob over there now, and I'm still on the James Harden like bandwagon. Nah, I love James Harden. I'm sorry. And to go to a team like that where he does not have to do as much, they really just needed a secondary ball handler to kind of help ease the load for Don. And you got Don, who is a like, I hate these kind of taglines, but he is a crunch time player. Yeah. Like, he is a dude who gets better later in games.
Yeah.
Where you don't put that on James on James' back anymore. They climbed up to the fourth seed, and they're actually tied with the Knicks right now, by the way. So they
won six in a row.
As high as two, realistically. That is a team that none of these dudes want to see in that second round. The Knicks don't want to play them. The Pistons don't want to play them. That is a rough mob. Remember, they won the East last year. They had the best record in the conference and kind of like walked into the playoffs and had some injuries, and they went from there. That is a scary team, and I'm happy you mentioned them because I would pick them over Detroit. We talked up Detroit for 10 minutes earlier. I picked them over Detroit because, one, they can defend with that mob they have. They have five different wings they throw at guys, and that's after letting go of DeAndre. And now they have small guards that guard too, and then they have Evan Mobley in the middle who just makes everybody a better defender by the way he roams the paint, and Jared Allen who's obviously can protect the rim. He has his flaws or whatever, but that's a strong defensive bunch, and then they got that scoring punch now. They're scary. Can they win? Would I pick them over the Thunder? Nah. But, man, I'm looking at all them teams in the East, like they got a real chance knocking these dudes off.
It's something that's always said, kind of like a cliche, but it really is true, man. The playoffs really are different. Mm-hmm. Like, it is a different thing. Like, we talk about Cade just doing what he's doing right now and just kind of free-flowing around the court and all this other stuff. Everything is so hypersensitive in the playoffs. I could see Cade winning the MVP, or I don't know if we would know by then, but like winning the MVP, having this great close to the season, and then we get to game one of the second round, and they lose to Cleveland, and Cade's got 22 on 8 of 25 from the field. And they're like, yo, it just looks different. Like, it just, the playoffs is such a different game, man.
Cade had some rough shooting nights last year in his first playoff run, too. And again, for a guy who just doesn't have the jumper that we kind of want him to have to take that next level, that comes up in the playoffs. If we think you can't shoot, we're going to let you shoot, and we're going to see. We're going to make you prove it. And the thing about the Cavs who we're talking about, they got some jump shooters on that team. Even Evan Mobley has improved. I think he's a little step back this year with that. But, like, yeah, if you're getting into a firefight, that's probably the one team out East we don't necessarily want to see. And then say what you will about James, but you get that random James Harden game where he makes six threes, or, you know, he's really feeling it. He's not young James anymore. He's not driving and punching it like he used to. He's kind of like doesn't have the lift. But, man, if he gets going, he give you a quarter, he swings things.
Yeah, so you'd be up 1-0. Yeah.
That's a scary backcourt, man.
I'm with you, Casey. We talk about that as the day rolls along. But Cleveland needs to be – you got to keep an eye on Cleveland. You got to keep an eye on Cleveland. Eddie, we appreciate you, my man. Thank you, as always, for making so much time for us.
Appreciate y'all, fellas. Y'all have a good weekend. Go play. I don't know if we can say this on Sacramento radio, but go play that Mozzie album. It's really good.
Did you you play that Baby Kim this morning?
We not playing none of that.
Oh, of course not. Yeah, we ain't going to do that.
Play that Brent Fayez.
Oh, that's fire. Hey,
don't worry.
Hey, that is fire.
Come on, that's my boy.
Brent, boy.
That's my boy, Brent.
He did that.
Come on. Brent ain't missed it a long time, my friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I knew you.
And that LMA. I like that LMA too. The new LMA.
I didn't even make fun of this cardigan get up that Kenny got on either, but like I see you, man. Like, where is you going after this?
I'm on the call. I'm calling high school basketball. McClatchy is back in the playoffs, taking on Folsom tonight, man. So yeah, I'm getting my Dick Vitale on.
All right.
Boy.
I
had to.
That Vitale. Boy, I wish you had said Vitale a little bit louder. That was close. You came. Hey, come on, man. What are we doing? I know it's Friday, but chill.
Hey, I always be thinking it's going to be me. Two slips. Y'all are pros and y'all do this every day. It's going to be him,
though. Oh, every time. Every time. Every time.
And I ain't paying time, man. That's
I'm just trying to live, man. I'm just trying to live.
Every time.
Hey, I'll see y'all fellas next week, man.
We appreciate you, brother.